Good morning. I'm Anita Ruff, and as you heard, I work at the Maine Medical Center in Portland, Maine for the Portland Identification and Early Referral Program. I'd like to just acknowledge my collaborators, Tom Downing and Bill McFarlane, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. So the program that I work with is a psychiatric research program seeking to identify whether or not you can intervene in the disease progress of psychotic disorders in young people between the ages of 12 and 25. The cost of mental illness to employers is great. As many of you know, medical and mental illnesses are closely linked, and that 13% of adults suffer from some kind of anxiety disorder. It costs employers $44 billion per year of lost productivity, and that employees with depression and anxiety disorders lose 2.2 hours of productivity per workday due to their illness. So a quarter of their workday is lost because of their illness. Oops, wrong way, sorry. So the program, as I mentioned, is a treatment research program. Our goal is to build the evidence for early intervention. We have an assessment piece, we have our treatment piece, and then our third is community outreach, with a goal to increase awareness of the early warning signs and increase referrals. Historically, we've always focused our attention on education and healthcare professionals. Unlike most community outreach, the behaviors that we're trying to influence are those of those folks who have their eyes and ears on the young people. So instead of asking young people to make a behavior change, we're asking those who work with them to make a behavior change by identifying early and then making a referral to our program. We have made attempts in the past to engage businesses, but we haven't had a focus. We've provided information, some of which I just presented to you about the cost and the importance of and the impact of mental illness on the workplace, but we didn't really know what to do, what we would ask employers to do with that information. And that's for a variety of reasons. As we started thinking about this, there are some very complicated issues related to the role of the employer in an employee's mental health. How many of you have told your employer when you've had a dental appointment? Okay. How many of you, or an employee has told you, you know, I need to go because I've got to go to the dentist today? How many of you had an employee tell you that they need to go because they have a psychiatrist appointment, or they need to go to therapy? Not that many. And so there's just a very different relationship with employers and employees related to mental health. Related to stigma, there is still a huge stigma in our society about admitting that you need psychological help, or your family member. We see that as a very private matter, and so we don't turn to our employers often to tell them we're struggling because of fear of insult or of bias, and so employees have very different feelings about telling their employers that they have mental health issues. And we were really unclear about what the benefits were offered and utilization rates. Most major health plans provide some sort of mental health benefit, but it was really unclear about how often they were used and whether they were adequate or not. And we were also just unsure whether or not this was a topic on employers' radars. We know that worksite wellness is a huge area. Clearly, you all are here because you're interested in it. And in our state, employers have really done, I think, a really nice job of providing worksite wellness benefits, tobacco cessation, physical activity and nutrition incentives. But we didn't know if they had even considered mental health issues as part of their worksite wellness programs. So my colleagues and I developed an employer outreach plan. The first was to do an employer survey to ask employers, what do you think is your role in your employees' mental health? What services do you provide? Are they adequate? And then we were going to do executive interviews. So basically key informant interviews with 7 to 12 employers with a range of small to large and with HR directors and executive directors. Then we were going to do our phase two, which was doing an employer cost analysis of utilization of mental health benefits and services, going to several employers, looking at their records, looking at their insurance claim data, looking at their pharmacy data, to see whether or not these benefits were utilized in comparison to physical health benefits. Then we decided to do an employee survey. We didn't originally plan to do an employee survey, but after we saw the results of the employer survey, my good public health antenna perked up and said, wait a minute, I think there's probably more to this story. So we did an employee survey. I'm gonna tell you what the results of both the employer and employee surveys are, but it was very interesting what employers think versus employees. And then finally, we're in to develop messages and materials so that we can implement the community outreach to employers. So our employer survey, we had 118 employers in four counties with a range of 5 to 5,000 plus employees. We targeted owners and HR directors. We did a web-based anonymous survey. And for our employee, we had 355 full-time employees, again, doing a web-based anonymous survey in the same four counties. So we didn't go back to the employees of the employers because we didn't want to just limit that. We wanted a broader range, but the criteria for the employees is that they had to be full-time employees with the assumption that to be full-time, you had access to benefits. So I have a lot of data. This is only a fraction. If you are really interested on the fine details, see me afterwards because we have a lot more than I can do in 15 minutes. But basically, when we asked employers, what is it that you offer to your employees? This is what they said. 91% said we offer mental health resources through our health plan. 39% said we have EAPs, employee assistance programs. 33% we said, well, we have an HR office. HR takes care of the mental health issues in our business. And which I'm sure if you're an HR person, you might freak out a little. And then 6 had a worksite liaison, which whatever that means, I'm not very clear what that actually means. And so when we asked employers, what is your perception about the role of employers regarding mental health issues? 71% said we should provide training to our supervisors so that they can handle situations with employees who are either struggling with mental health issues or have mental health issues, or they have family members who have mental health issues. We need to provide them training so they can handle it. 63% said we should provide some kind of information about mental health, akin to a pamphlet, you know, your mental health at work. And then 58% said, yeah, our employees think our benefits are adequate. That if we asked our employees today, yeah, they think we're doing a good job for our mental health coverage. 44% thought that their role was to provide intervention, which I actually was surprised. That seems kind of high to me. But they thought that they had a responsibility to help their employees. And so if somebody was struggling, that they would help provide intervention and get them help. 39% thought that they had a role in identifying mental health issues. Now remember, I work for an early identification program. And so we wondered if employers thought they should be the ones doing the identification. Only 40% really thought they should. So for us, that was a good message for us not to focus our materials and messages on early identification because most employers didn't think that that was their role. And then finally, 39% said, my employees would look to me and my organization for assistance if they were struggling with mental health issues. So when we asked employees this question, we asked, should they and do they, for a variety of services. And as you can see, there are really big differences between should and do. Overwhelmingly, employees thought there should be a return to work process. So if I had to take time to go on short-term or long-term disability, I had to leave work for a period of time to get treatment or to be with a family member, that my employer should help me return to work in some way, like we do with family medical leave and that there's a transition. Only 23 said their employers actually do it, so that's a huge difference. They thought there should be stress management classes, again, should but don't, time off from work, mental health management classes. EAP was the only one that sort of more closely aligned with what should happen and does happen. And then again, the free mental health assessments, very few people do that. I don't know that there are that many evidence-based mental health assessments that have been tested in workplaces, so it's not surprising. And then benefits again. So it's for us, what was striking was the differences between the should and the do. So then when we asked, there were questions that we asked that were just specific for employers. There were some questions that we asked that were specific for employees. But there were a series of questions that we asked both. And so this is the comparative perceptions about the impact of mental health issues in the workplace. So the top one is that employee-dependent mental health issues have an impact on my company's overall work environment. The blue bar is the employee answer, so 74% of employees say, yes, employee mental health issues impact our work environment. Employers only said, only 56% of employers said that. That makes sense because you know what your coworkers are doing more often than your employee does, or your employer does. When asked about mental health issues affecting only a small percentage of my coworkers, again, employees said it affects a large percent. And employers thought it affected a smaller percent. So again, there's the disparity between what the employer thinks versus the employee. The next one I thought was particularly interesting, that there was more employees thought that addressing employee mental health was a priority for their employer. So employers thought that it was lower than employees did, which I always think that nobody likes their employer that much. So I'm always shocked when people think their employers do better than they actually do. And then finally, my company reviews its policies and procedures related to employee mental health with me. 18% of employees said that happens. Employer said, oh yeah, we do it. And you know, I think about my own organization. I've never been asked whether my benefits meet my needs, ever. I'm just told what my benefits are. And so it wasn't surprising to me that employees didn't have a lot of input into the policies and the programs. And so when asked if I had a mental health issue, I would look to my employer to provide support and be a resource for information, 46% of employees said they would, whereas 39% of employers thought that employees would look to them. So more employees are looking for that information and support from their employers than employers recognize. And the same question, only if I had a family member. So you know, we know with health benefits, the coverage is not just for the employee, but for the family member. And so again, when you're talking about mental health issues, they affect the family, not just the person who has the mental illness. And so, again, trying to figure out what is the relationship. If my son was suffering from psychosis, would I turn to my employer for help? 39% of people said, yeah, I would. And so we asked this question about the general perceptions of employer support. I generally feel that my employer provides enough benefits and support for family members with mental health issues. Only 25% of respondents said yes. We didn't ask that question to the employers, but we did ask, I generally feel that my employer provides enough benefits and support for employees with mental health. And this was my, yes, that's why we did the employee survey. Because employers said 58% said yes, I provide enough benefits to my employees. 37% of employees say, you provide enough. So you have this perception from employers that they're doing enough, and a perception from employees that they're not. So there's a disconnect in that. And so when asked how much overall support of employees do you give for those who are affected by mental health issues, you can see again there's a distortion between the perception of employers and employees. So employers say that 65% of employers said, or 65% said, we are doing very well or well with providing support to our employees, whereas 62% of employees say somewhat well or not well at all. So the needs of employees are not matching up with the perceptions of the employers. So for our executive interviews, we asked several questions. We met with several people. And basically, it confirmed what we found in our survey, is that mental health benefits are offered in the health plan, that there is a balance between privacy and providing assistance, that it is a skill-building opportunity for managers, but that employers are not a service provider, but really an information resource, and that there's a need for employers to provide flexibility and resources for staff, but because it's difficult, mental health issues are lower on the priority. And then finally, we looked at the impact on main businesses. So we did the data collection for the utilization and data analysis on the benefits. And we looked at mental health claims, we looked at EAP utilization, we looked at prescription drug claims, absenteeism, workers' compensation claims, and short and long-term disabilities. And what we found was it was really hard. That very few organizations collected the kind of information that could systematically address whether or not their utilization is, where their utilization rates are. Most people look solely at their physical health benefits and their utilization. Most employers have never looked at their mental health benefits utilization. That insurance carriers vary in how they report information, so there was no way to systematically collect standardized data. That we couldn't do trended reports. Very few employers require information on utilization from their EAP providers, so same for workers' comp and short and long-term disability, and that when it was available, the healthcare and pharmacy costs represented 5 to 10% of annual costs. So the utilization part, which I thought would be easy, we're public health data, I thought that would be great, but it was incredibly difficult to get because employers have never looked at it. And so, in conclusion, mental health is a growing issue that impacts employees, employers, and businesses. That stigma impacts the ability for us to talk about mental health at work. We have limited data available on the impact of mental illness on the direct or indirect costs of to employers, and there is a clear need to elevate employee mental health to the same level as other chronic diseases. A mentally healthy workforce is good for business. Thank you.